This morning, if you would please take your Bible and open to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and verse number 1. Our text this morning is Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. We're going to look at three different individuals that are mentioned here, and I'm planning, with the Lord's help, to give you a message that, to me, is amazingly simple as far as giving us, as believers, as Christians, giving us very clearly, very simply, what our spiritual priorities are. So in our Christian life, there are a lot of things that happen, of course. And if you're anything like me, it seems like life gets busier and busier. And things happen that very easily can crowd out what's really important. All right? I remember hearing several times when I was in Bible college many years ago, don't let good things become the enemy of the best. Well, that's a good reminder, because I think that in the life that we live, there are a lot of good things that we can be doing that maybe aren't the best things, that maybe aren't exactly what God would want us to have as a priority. And so I hope to show you, again, a very simple outline. Hopefully you'll see it as I saw it in preparation, but spiritual priorities that God has for us as his children. Notice Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, of course that it there refers to faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, that would be Abel, being dead, yet speaketh. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. In other words, taken from earth to heaven, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And I'll stop reading right there. Verses 1 through 7, that's our text for today. We're going to see this morning a little bit about Abel, a little bit about Enoch, and a little bit about Noah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to be together, to be a church family, to celebrate your goodness and graciousness to us. Thank you for saving us, Lord. And thank you for wanting to have a relationship with each one of us. As we go about this Christian life, there are a lot of things that want to crowd into our life and take over our life and dominate in our life. So we have to determine what's really a priority. And the three things that we're going to mention today, so very simple, but I hope will be eye-opening to each and every one of us, that we will know what is most important in our Christian walk. Bless us now, please, as we continue, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Perhaps one of the most difficult parts of being a Christian can be maintaining a spiritual balance in our life. Someone has once said it this way, keeping the main thing is the main thing. I would say amen to that too. All of life tends to be, I don't know about your life, but mine is this way, tends to be a struggle because there's so many other things that want to creep into my life and take over and dominate. But to keep the main thing, that's the main thing. And so I've got to have some priorities. And the main thing, of course, according to God's Word, and I hope to show it to you today, is to at least, I'm going to give you these three, at least have these three priorities in your Christian walk. And so I entitle this Spiritual Priorities. And the very first one I give you is found in verse 4 with Abel. And I'm just going to call this priority number one is our worship. Priority number one is our worship. If you notice verse 4 again says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Of course, we know Cain was his brother, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. I believe Abel is a good example for us concerning the subject of worship. Worship is a very, very important part of the Christian walk and the Christian life. If you know the Bible record about Abel and his brother Cain, you notice in the Bible record in Genesis anyway that Abel brought of the firstling of the flock a sacrifice unto the Lord, and Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And one of them, of course, was approved, and one of them was not approved. Okay? When it came to the offering that Cain brought, God said that his offering was not approved. And when it came to the offering that Abel brought, God said that it was approved. I, myself, believe that Abel did what God asked him to do, and in the manner that God asked him to do it. And Cain apparently did not, because his offering was not approved and accepted. The Bible says here that God had respect unto Abel and his offering. God, through that offering, the Bible says here that his offering was a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. He comes to God in the way that God asked him to. He came with not only the offering, but he came with the attitude that God was looking for. Here's just a question, a thought that I just want to put out. Is it possible for you and I, in the times in which we're living, to, like today, make an effort to get out into what is not very comfortable weather and make our way to church and not do it with the right attitude? It's possible. Please don't take offense when I tell you this. I don't mean it in that way. But your coming to church, by the way, on a sunny day or a very cold day like today, isn't doing God a favor. Okay? Now, he wants us to come. He wants us to gather together. He wants us to have fellowship. He wants us to worship him. He wants us to bring our tithes and offerings. He wants us to come, like we're talking about in this first point, to offer up to him some worship by singing the songs, by giving our offering, naturally by being here and giving him our heart and listening to what he has to say. Our personal worship is very, very important to God, okay? Not just in the church building, but all week long. Worshiping him. Why is it important for pastor to remind us often to read our Bible on a daily basis. It's part of our worship. Why is it important that pastor reminds us to pray and talk with God and bring our requests to him? That's part of our worship. Why is it important for us to live our lives with judgment day in view and remember that God is watching? That's all part of our worship. And that's just not on Sunday morning. That's also Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Each and every day of the week we can worship the Lord. And hopefully we do this again with the right offerings that he requests, but also, and this is so important, the right attitude. The right attitude. I don't even have this in my notes, but this thought just came to me, and I think I should say this. Your being here today and someone else who's not here today doesn't make you any better than them. Human nature wants to say, well, look at me. Huh? I ventured out into the cold. I mean, I made the effort. I'm here, and so-and-so, they're not here. And boy, they're not a very great Christian and all that. I don't know that that's the way God sees it, to be honest with you. I don't think it is. And I would also say this, if that's your attitude, then your attitude's not right. Our personal worship of God should be high on our list of priorities. It should include the right offering, of course, the offerings that God requests, for instance, like for us, tithes and offerings, but it also should be with the right attitude. See, here's a couple of thoughts. I put this down. What is my personal worship of God? How do I do that? Well, here's just a couple of thoughts come to mind. How about face-to-face communion with God? Face-to-face communion with God. How about a deep desire to know God better? How about the adoration of God concerning his person and power? Just adoring him, just fawning over him, if I can use that word. Adoring him. How about in our personal worship, I believe this is should be included, the confession of my sinfulness and my need for him. I think all those things are involved in personal worship, don't you? I'll mention them again. Face-to-face communion with God, a deep desire to know God better, the adoration of God concerning his person and power, the confession of my sinfulness and my need for God. Does God need us like we need him? No. No. God can exist without us just fine. You and I can't exist without him for 5 minutes. And so expressing that to him and from your heart, letting him know that and adoring him and worshiping him. Worship gives, I think, new life to our spirit and infuses into us the strength and the grace of God because we've spent time in his presence and we've worshiped him. I don't know how it is for you. This is how it is for me. When I'm really in touch with God, when I'm really in tune with God, when I'm really worshiping God, you ready? Everything else fades away. My problems fade away. My successes fade away. My accomplishments fade away. My enemies fade away. My responsibilities fade away. Why? Because I'm all wrapped up in the Lord and who he is and how great he is and how wonderful he is. And we say it often, don't we? And shame on us if we do it glibly, but we say often, don't we, that God has been better to us than what we deserve? But isn't that also very, 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 very true? We don't deserve God's goodness. The best of us don't deserve God's goodness. And so, in our list of priorities, and I just have three, and this is such a simple outline today, but number one, and I felt like this was important in the beginning of a year, We're gonna approach this year, 2024. We expect God to do great things, and we want great things to happen for the Lord in our lives and in our church. Let's make sure we have the right priorities, and priority number one is our worship. Our worship. I know it's difficult sometimes, but when you come to church, now you can worship God, and you should all week long too, but when you come to church, don't worry about who's here. Don't worry about who's not here. Just concern yourself with the Lord. Lord, I want to give you what you deserve and desire from me. And Lord, I want to receive from you what you have for me today. Worship. Worship. Priority number one. I think Abel did a good job of that. And I think that's why he was received and God thought he was excellent. And I think that's why it says here, by it he being dead yet speaketh. Priority number one is our worship. Priority number two, verse 5. Look at Enoch. The Bible says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. I don't know if you see the rapture in that verse or not, but I do. I'm looking forward. I think you and I believe, I could be wrong, but I think we're living in the last generation before the rapture. I look for him to come for us most any time now, and I'm hoping that it's today. I don't know. Don't take this in the wrong way, but if we have the rapture take place this afternoon and we didn't have to have church tonight, I'd be okay with that. No, Lord, you can't do that. I got an outline already. He would say so. I got something better for you, son. No, I would be fine with that if we didn't have to, you know, have that tonight. But here's the second priority I want to give you. Number one was worship. The second one, and I draw it out from Enoch's life, what it says both in Genesis and also here, priority number two is our walk. Our walk. Right after worship, one of the main things that all of us remember or should remember about Enoch is that he walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Now, we're not going to go back to Genesis, but if you remember back to Genesis in your mind, Enoch walked with God just a little bit prior to the flood. Not exactly before, but prior to the flood. At a time when the Bible says that every imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. At a time when God was getting so disappointed in how man was living and what he was doing and what he was thinking, that God moved eventually on the heart of Noah and told Noah to build an ark, which we're going to look at Noah in just a little bit. But that's the time period in which Enoch walked with God. And the Bible says that in Genesis that he walked with God for at least, think about this, 300 years. I don't plan to live that long, do you? I'm pretty sure I won't. But wow, that's a long time to walk with God. Not long before God judged the earth by means of a worldwide flood because of all the wickedness that was there. That was the time period in which Enoch walked with God. By the way, do you think it was popular to walk with God at that time? I'm guessing it probably wasn't. But he walked with God for 300 years during a time when it wasn't popular and the earth was filled with wickedness and getting worse and worse and worse by the day. What a compliment it was when God said about Enoch that Enoch walked with God. By the way, what a compliment it is when someone today says of you or me, that person walks with God. What they mean, of course, is that you or me in our life are demonstrating on a daily basis a life that's controlled by the Spirit of God, that lines up with Scripture, that is doing things that pleases the God of heaven. It means that our decisions are all made basically by what the Lord would want. It means that our responses to events that take place and people that interact with us, our responses that touch other people, our responses are made by a will that is controlled by God. Have you ever had situations arise where someone was really treating you unkindly and mean-spiritedly and saying things to you that were unkind and mean-spirited, and in yourself you wanted to really lash out, but the Spirit of God said, no, don't do that. That'll ruin your testimony. And instead you tried to smile, and maybe as quick as you could, you walked away. You know, that's what we're talking about. I know people, and I'm betting that probably you do too, people that don't allow the Spirit of God to control their reactions. And they say the first thing that comes to mind. Has this ever happened to you? Have you ever said the first thing that comes to mind, and then it's like, oh man, I wish I could get that back? I've had that happen. It's hopefully been a while, but you can never retrieve that. Once it's out there, it's out there. But someone who's walking with God means they demonstrate on a daily basis a life that's controlled by the Spirit of God. Their decisions are made spiritually. That's what God would want them to do. Their responses to situations and people are responses made by a will that's controlled by God. You see, walking with God is very important. Not just for you, but also for the ones whose lives you touch and interact with. Walking with God involves abiding in Christ. Walking with God involves His Word abiding in us. Walking with God involves the fruit of the Spirit being demonstrated in our life each and every day. Would you agree with me about this thought? When we are truly walking with God, others will notice that. By the way, they will. They'll see it, and they'll notice it. I don't know about you, I can't speak for you, but that's the kind of testimony I want to have. I want people to be able to say that about me. When a Christian is walking with God, it's normally because he or she has also been involved in that first point of worshiping God. And here's why. The more time you spend with God, worshiping Him, the more like Him you will become. And a life that's lived walking with God is going to be a life that's like He would walk. Priority number one is our worship. Priority number two is our walk. The third thing I want to point out this morning is in verse number 7, and this is Noah. Notice the Bible says in verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, of course that would be the worldwide flood, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So one of the things that we associate with Noah is building the ark. All right? Abel was, you know, worshiping God, bringing the right sacrifice and worshiping God by faith. By the way, all three of these are by faith. And then Enoch was walking with God 300 years by faith in a time where it wasn't popular to do so. And then thirdly, Noah building that ark. And so here's the word, work. First priority is worship. Second priority is our walk. Third priority is our work. Our work. By faith, Noah built the ark as God told him to build it. You go back and reread the accounts of these men, you'll be reminded of several things. Like, for instance, with Noah, God gave him those instructions, and he built it exactly like God said. By the way, good thing he did. I'm not much of a builder of anything, but if I were to build the ark by myself, it probably wouldn't float. It probably would sink. But Noah, who, as far as we know, had never built an ark before, and of course there'd never been a worldwide flood before, but he followed God's instructions, he did what God said, and lo and behold, the ark floated. Right? And it lasted throughout the whole time that the waters were upon the earth. He did the work that God gave him to do in the way that God gave him to do it, and it all turned out exactly like God knew it would. Every Christian is expected to work for God in some capacity. There's something for all of us to do in the work of God. Listen to two different passages, please. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Here's the other passage, Ephesians 2:8-10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Both of those passages tell us that our salvation and the Word of God were given to us to result in good works. One work, of course, that all of us can be involved in is telling someone else about Jesus. How to know Jesus as your personal Savior by way of salvation. Our work for the Lord, of course, whatever it is, if it's witnessing to someone else or teaching a class or playing the piano for church or leading the songs or, you know, bringing people to church or ushering or, you know, what the deacons do, right? They deke. You know, whatever it is that God gives you to do, it's important for us to do what God asks us to do and do it in the way that God wants it to be done. Our work for the Lord is very important. Here's a thought. Whenever the time comes that you are no longer here, will your departure leave a gap in the church fabric? Something to think about. Whenever the time comes that you're no longer here, will your departure leave a gap in the church fabric? Many people, of course, God uses them to do many things, and some of them, like many of you have been here a while, you'll know this, are like Ruth Severson. She's honored on the wall out here. And that's because God used her in many different ways to help out in the church ministry and fabric of the church and so forth. She's one of those, isn't she? That left a gap in the church fabric. My opinion, I think George Thodey's departure is another one. And I can mention several. I'm not trying to exclude anyone. But I'm just saying, whenever that time comes, and it will for all of us, when the time for your departure comes, will your departure leave a gap in the church fabric? And it all revolves around the work that we do for our Lord. You see, this order that I'm giving you, worship and walk and work, they're all very important. By the way, all three are needed. You shouldn't emphasize one over the other. And here's another thought. You ready for this? Because I think this happens in some independent Baptist churches. Sometimes we get the order reversed. The order is worship, then walk, then work. But I know of independent Baptist churches where the order is reversed, and they focus on the work. And the walk and the worship, I don't know, they just don't emphasize that like they ought to. Do you agree with me? Doesn't worship come first? Sure. If I don't have that down, my work's going to suffer. If I don't have the worship down, my walk's going to suffer. Worship's got to be first. And then, of course, my walk, my living my life out in front of others, my walk is so important. And the work, it's very important, but it shouldn't be first. Again, I think I know some churches where they really overemphasize the work part of it. And, if you do, you're going to lose the joy of living the Christian life. Because, again, remember this? We say this often, don't we? It's all about Him. Amen. It's all about our Savior. And that's why we got to make sure that the order is correct. If that reversed order continues, of course, it might not be long before that Christian is totally lost to the cause of Christ. It's important to keep all three of these priorities going, but in the right order, and practice them every day. So in our message today, again, very simple outline, we talked about spiritual priorities, and those priorities are worship, walk, and work. Each one is important. Each one should be practiced. It's important to keep them in the right order. And my encouragement to you today is this. Let's make sure that we keep the main thing the main thing, because that's the main thing. Would you stand with me, please? Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one's looking. We don't want to embarrass anyone. Worship, walk, and work. Father in heaven, thank you for this simple outline that you showed to me, and I hope that it's been an encouragement and a blessing to the folks that gathered here today. Speak to our hearts, Lord, and help us to maintain the right order, and help us to maintain the practice of these three spiritual priorities until you come for us. May we be what you want us to be in this world in which we live. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.